Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your Spirit, open our hearts and minds now to what you have to teach us in your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Bonnie and Clyde, Batman and Robin, Romeo and Juliet, Sherlock and Watson, Mario and Luigi. These are iconic partnerships that have graced the silver screen and our Netflix accounts to boot. They can variously be described as soulmates, kindred spirits, and BFFs, of course. We almost can't imagine these characters separately. It's like they're welded together, bonded by friendship, love, and the like-mindedness that just fuels a common purpose. They are partners in the strongest sense of the word. Well, this morning we're starting our series on Philippians by looking at verses 1 to 8 of chapter 1. And the dominant theme of these verses is partnership. The partnership between the Apostle Paul and the Christians in the city of Philippi. And as we'll see, these verses, they indicate a partnership that I reckon even rivals that of Mario and Luigi. Because the partnership of Paul and the Philippians is also welded together by the bonds of love and friendship and like-mindedness. And I reckon we can go even further than that. I reckon we can say that their partnership in this letter is even far deeper than any of those partnerships that grace the silver screen. That's because it's a gospel partnership. A partnership founded on the common faith of the Philippians and of Paul, of course, and Timothy. Now, this morning, we're going to take a look at this partnership between Paul and the Philippians, and we'll do so in three parts. First, we'll look at the foundation of their partnership in verses 1 and 2. And then second, we'll look at Paul's joy on account of the partnership, which is in verses 3 to 6. And third, we'll look at Paul's affection for his Philippian partners in verses 7 and 8. So foundation, joy, affection. And as we do these things, we're going to see that this partnership is something deep and something beautiful. And that's, of course, a good thing. But more than that, we're going to see that as Christians, well, we can have the same deep partnership with each other. And in fact, we'll see that as Christians, this type of partnership is central to what it means to be part of the Church of Jesus. So that's where we're going. But before we get into those three parts, we'll first just get a little bit of background on Philippians, because as Katie mentioned, we're starting a new series this morning. And so it's good for us to just kind of orient ourselves and get a little bit of context as we go through the letter. So let's get into the background of Philippians then. As we can see from verse 1, it was written by Paul. Now, Timothy is also included as an author, but I think the letter actually makes it clear that Paul is the main author and Timothy is his associate, his kind of partner in crime. Because throughout the letter, it uses singular pronouns. It's filled with I, indicating Paul, rather than we, indicating Paul and Timothy. Now, the situation that Paul finds himself in as he writes this letter is quite an important one, because you see, Paul's in prison. He's probably in prison in Rome around AD 62. This would be the same imprisonment that we're told about in Acts 28. And during this time, Paul's waiting for a trial before the emperor. He's on trial because his Jewish opponents are accusing him of crimes that deserve death. He doesn't actually deserve death. They're jealous and they don't like that he's preaching about Jesus, but they're trying to trump up some charges to get Paul executed. And so he's appealed all the way to Caesar, and now he's in Rome. So with this upcoming trial then, there's two options before him. Either he can be sentenced to death, or he can be acquitted and kind of go on with life as usual. So the point is, Paul knows that he might be at the end of his life. Now, with this being the case, it seems from chapter 4 of Philippians that Paul's received a gift from the Philippian Christians. They sent these gifts when they learned of his imprisonment. Now, that's no small thing, because as the crow flies, the distance between Philippi and Rome is about 1,000 kilometres. And you can imagine to actually get there would be a bit more circuitous. So this is a big thing for them to have sent him gifts and people to go back and forward and for them to be partnered in that way. And so one of the reasons that Paul's writing to the Philippians from this situation of being imprisoned is just to say thank you. Thank you for remembering me. Their gifts show that they're partners with Paul in the cause of the gospel. And that idea of partnership is, of course, the big theme that we'll be looking at this morning. And so, with these things in mind, let's turn now to that main theme of partnership. So, first part of our passage, this includes verses 1 and 2. Here we'll look at the foundation of Paul's partnership with the Philippians. So Paul starts off the letter by writing these words in verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at these verses, I reckon it's pretty easy actually to skip over them because it's a greeting. And greetings are just a formality, right? Like the email you write, dear so-and-so, how are you? All right, I've said those things now. Let me get into the thing that I actually want to talk about. But this is not a mere formality. This greeting is actually very important. It's important because it lays the foundation for Paul's partnership with the Philippians. It does so by first identifying Paul and Timothy as servants of Jesus. And the word for servant here, it's actually a very strong word. It doesn't just mean kind of like a servant that you hire and you pay and then at the end of the day they can go home. This is actually a slave. So Paul and Timothy, they belong to Jesus as slaves and they exist to serve him. They belong to Jesus. And along with speaking of himself and Timothy in this way, Paul also addresses the Philippians he's writing to as God's holy people. They're people who've been purified from their sin and then set apart by God. And this has happened through being united to God's Son, the Lord Jesus. As Paul says, they are God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Holy people, by the way, is often translated saints, so we can all call ourselves saints. That's pretty good, eh? We're all saints. So the point that I'm making, though, is that the Philippians then also belong to Jesus. And this is what unites Paul and the Philippians. He belongs to Jesus, and so do they. And consequently, this is the foundation for their partnership in the gospel. That partnership, which we'll see he talks about explicitly later in verse 5. Now, it might seem at this point like I'm just kind of laboring the obvious, and I guess I am, but this is important to think about because this is a foundation for a partnership that's much deeper than the things that most people are united around. I mean, you might share an interest in novels with someone, and then you kind of start a book club together, or people might partner together in some kind of business venture because they can see that it's going to be profitable. But to have a partnership that's centered on belonging to Jesus, well, there's nothing deeper than that. It means you share in that grace and peace that Paul mentions in verse 2. And that's massive. Because it means in sharing in the things that are central to who you are. We are people who, because we belong to Jesus, have received God's unmerited favor, his grace. And this grace has given us peace. It's given us peace with God because it's reconciled us to him despite our sin. And it's given us peace in the sense of the wholeness and well-being that comes from having a relationship with God, from having our lives tied back to our Creator. To belong to Jesus, then, is by far the most important thing in life. And Christians, we have that in common. That's a very deep thing to have as the foundation of our partnership. Now, brothers and sisters, that's obviously not just something that Paul and the Philippians share. That's something we all share. Again, this is probably obvious, but all of us here who are Christians, we're united in belonging to Jesus. And so all of us here are united in knowing God's grace and peace. Now, let's just let that sink in just for a moment. Because having this in common means that the things that differentiate us, things like career or race or gender or age or interests or personality or political allegiances, they're just pretty insignificant in comparison. They almost don't matter in comparison. I'm not saying those things don't matter. I'm saying in comparison, they just kind of pale in significance. Because we have a foundation for partnership with each other that's far more important than those things. We belong to Jesus and share in his grace and peace. And with that in mind, let's be people who embrace that foundation of our partnership. Let's speak often about our common faith in Jesus. Let's share with each other how God's grace and peace has impacted us and continues to impact us. You know, just recently I was at a birthday party for one of my boys, I think it was Everett. And I met a couple of guys there, and they were Christians, and we just got sharing, and they were sharing with me of the impacts of God's grace and peace in their lives. And it was just so encouraging. I walked away from that just feeling so built up and going, yeah, this is the most important thing, and I want some more of that grace and peace as well. We can all do that for each other here at church or when we catch up during the week or whenever. So let's do that then. Let's remember that we're all partners in belonging to Jesus and sharing in his grace and peace. Let's remember that's the foundation of our partnership. All right, let's move to our second part of our passage now. It goes from verses 3 to 5. Sorry, I've skipped verse 6. It just didn't help flow with the theme. You can get into verse 6 yourself. But here we'll just see the joy of partnership. Well, having finished his greeting, which laid the foundation of partnership, Paul begins his letter in earnest. He writes in verses 3 to 5, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. As I read these verses, it just strikes me that Paul is being incredibly positive. Such a warm tone to the letter. And as we look at the rest of our verses, we're going to see that this warm tone just kind of continues. In fact, it gets a bit gushy, but that's a wonderful thing. But here in verses 3 to 5, there are a few things that communicate that glowing warmth of Paul. To begin with, he's just really thankful for the Philippians. In fact, he's so thankful that every time they come to mind, he thanks God for them. Every time. And not only that, but his gratitude is also seen in him praying for the Philippians with joy. All his prayers for the Philippians, says Paul, are prayed with joy. And why is this? It's because of the Philippians' partnership in the gospel. This brings us back to what prompted the writing of the letter to the Philippians. As I said earlier, this letter is probably a response to gifts that the Philippian Christians sent to Paul while he's in jail. It talks about these in chapter 4. That's why I think that's quite likely. And the reason that's related to partnership is that these gifts were a means of supporting Paul. The Philippians were supporting not just him as a person, but they were supporting his work of sharing the gospel, of telling others about the grace and peace that's found in Jesus. This probably would have involved financial gifts and maybe some other kinds of provisions. Either way, the Philippians have been faithful missionary partners in Paul's work. And notice this isn't a one-off thing. Their partnership in the gospel has continued from the first day until now. Paul started the Philippian church, which you can read about in Acts 16, and from the day he started the church until this point in his ministry, the Philippians have been faithful in supporting him. But I don't think this joy-bringing partnership is only about financial aid. It certainly does involve that. But there seems to be other ways the Philippians have partnered with Paul. You see, in chapter 4, Paul also mentions specific co-workers in the gospel. He does so a little bit negatively, which we'll look at later. But that doesn't remove the point that when he speaks about Euodia and Syntyche, these partners in the gospel, these two Philippian ladies, he is saying that they contended by his side in the cause of the gospel. So the partnership of the Philippians seemed to have involved some sharing of not just financial aid, but the missionary work itself. And along with this, it just seems unthinkable that the partnership with the Philippians wouldn't have involved prayer. It almost certainly involved prayer as well. The point is that in the Philippians, Paul had true gospel partners, people who were as committed to the cause of the gospel as he was, and this brought him joy. All right, so we see now how Paul has joy in the Philippians because of their partnership in the gospel, but how does this translate to us? Well, I reckon this passage exhorts us to partner in gospel work with others and so bring them joy. And there are a number of ways we can do that. To begin with, we can support missionaries in their work. There are lots of missionaries in all sorts of places, from Thailand to Turkey, who need support. They need financial support. They need prayer support. They need moral support of people just keeping in touch with them. It's interesting, a lot of missionaries, after a few years of being overseas, people tend to forget about them. People go on with their lives and they get forgotten. But they need to not be forgotten. We need to keep that moral support up. We need to keep that prayer support up. And of course, the financial support as well. Because when they receive that support, it brings them joy. They're grateful and it reminds them that they're not alone in their work. Now, if you don't have someone to partner with, you can just let me know and I'd be happy to put you in contact with someone or find out of some people. But along with that, we actually support missionaries at our church. We support Robin Watson, we support Kathy Dadd, and they both work in Bible translation. And they need us to support them, not just financially, but to continue to support them in prayer. So let's make sure that we're regularly praying for them. And of course, we did do that this morning. So let's keep that up. And we can also support them by engaging with them when they visit. And there will be an opportunity for that in not too long, by the way. I found out yesterday that Robin Watson is planning to visit here in August. So that'll be good to see him. Let's make sure we mob the guy with concern. That'll be good, won't it? But of course, joy-producing gospel partnership, it's not just about engaging with missionaries out there. It's also about us partnering with each other here in the cause of the gospel. You see, when we meet together, we can share with each other about our friends and family that we want to see come to faith. And we can then pray for those people. And we can do more than just pray for them once. We can keep praying for those people and we can keep them in our prayers and then ask our friends, our brothers and sisters how they're going. That'd be a super joy-producing way of partnering together. It'd be so encouraging for a brother and sister to care that much about your non-Christian friends and family. Not just because they care, but because they're sharing in the work of prayer. And that's not the only way that we can partner. But we can also cross over our friendship groups. That's another thing we can do. Why not introduce some of your non-Christian friends and family to your Christian friends? That's a great way to partner in the gospel as well. Because when people have more Christian friends, faith in Jesus, well, it just seems a little bit less crazy. They realize there are lots of reasonable people who believe in Jesus, and so it all just becomes a little bit more believable. And they see the difference Jesus makes, and that attracts them to him. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, this is a way for us to not only advance the gospel, but to bring each other joy. Because it reminds us that we're not alone. We have other people around us who are as committed to the mission of Jesus as we are. They're walking alongside us. They're supporting us in mission. They're a cause of joy. All right, let's look at the third and final part of our passage, verses 7 and 8. Here we'll see the affections of partnership. So Paul writes in these verses, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Well, in looking at these verses, we see just how deeply Paul cares for the Philippians. He tells them he has them in his heart. Essentially, he's saying they're really precious to him. And then Paul gives further details for why he feels so strongly towards them. It's because it doesn't matter whether he's in prison like he is in the present, or whether he's defending and confirming the cause of the gospel, which he continues to do in prison, but he's also done throughout his ministry when he's been moving freely. In all these circumstances, the Philippians share in God's grace with him. That is, they continue to embrace him as a Christian brother who belongs to Jesus and has received his grace. And that would have been a big thing for Paul, because the thing is, in the ancient world, being put in prison was a shameful thing. People didn't want anything to do with you. Didn't want to know you anymore. But instead of abandoning Paul, as some undoubtedly would have done, the Philippians, they stood by him. They stood by him in his hour of need. And that's another thing that makes them true partners. They didn't just share in the cause of the gospel with Paul, they cared for Paul himself. And this is why Paul even continues to speak of his affection for the Philippians in verse 8. He says he longs for them with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is deeply emotional language. He feels a deep and intense yearning for the Philippians. In fact, the word for affection here literally means intestines or organs. Bit yucky, I know. But it's saying that Paul cares for these people from the depths of his being, from his bowels. And more than that, this affection is the affection of Jesus. This is an affection that loves as deeply as Jesus, who gave himself for his people on the cross. And it's affection that's not just coming from Paul, but it's actually empowered by Jesus as well, to whom Paul belongs. That's another way in which it's the affection of Christ Jesus. So this is what the partnership of the Philippians has produced in Paul. So once again, how does this translate to us? Well, this shows us that true Christian partnership involves genuine affection for each other. An affection that's modeled on the affection of Christ, is empowered by Christ, and comes from the depths of our being. And it shows us this affection is especially to be shown for each other when times are tough. Verses 7 and 8, they spoke about the affection Paul feels for those who were sticking by him in one of his lowest moments. But I think given the care that the Philippians have shown for Paul, this affection obviously goes both ways. They care for him from the depths of their being. They too love Paul with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, how this works itself out in our community isn't hard to imagine, I don't think. We're simply to be people who show mutual affection and care for each other. We're to be part of each other's lives and share our struggles. And where we hear about the struggles or simply the needs of our brothers and sisters, or we're to roll up our sleeves and do everything we can to care for them. Now, I know we are actually a community like that. I'm certain of it, because so many of you have shown genuine affection and care for my family recently with Wesley's birth. We've received plenty of meals and presents and well wishes. It's been wonderful. We are so thankful. Thank you. And I also know there are regularly others in our community who are being cared for. So I know that we're doing this. So this isn't about us doing something new. It's simply about us continuing to be the mutually affectionate community that we are. And it's about us continuing to grow in that affection as we look to Jesus in the affection he showed us on the cross, and as we're empowered by him to show that affection to each other. So let's continue in that. And let's even grow in that. Let's be a community of affectionate gospel partnership. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our partnership in the gospel. Help us to embrace the foundation of our partnership, the fact that we all belong to Jesus and have received his grace and peace. Help us also to partner with each other in the mission of sharing the gospel and so bring each other joy. And finally, help us to be a community that lives out our partnership in mutual affection for each other. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.